In the studio, I have Fiona Nolan from the North Side Enterprise Centre.
Hi, John. You got it right this time.
Thank you.
And Clodagh Timmins, who was a personal trainer.
Hi, John.
And you were a client of the North Side Enterprise.
I was indeed, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it still is, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, we'll do a quick recap about the North Side, like we always do.
Because right, okay. The North Side Enterprise Centre is a business centre located on Bunratty Drive. It's a community enterprise centre and it provides space and services and facilities for people who are in business and who are looking for space to kind of move out of the home, maybe come into a hot desk environment, or maybe you're looking for a bigger unit. And we provide support for them as well. We have workshops, we have training programmes. I'm there to give advice if they need it. And we try to create a networking environment within the centre. So it's a little bit different to your average business centre where you just go in, you pay your money and you're not bothered by the landlord unless you haven't paid your rent. So we do provide a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Okay. And Clodagh, you tell us a bit about yourself. Tell us about the business and how the Enterprise Centre was.
Okay, well, I'm a personal trainer and I work for myself. So I just literally, I rent a premises. So, and I just train my clients in a premises. And the Enterprise Centre, how they helped me really was they put workshops on all the time, which are very beneficial for people like who are starting up their own businesses and entrepreneurs in general, and particularly female entrepreneurs, which drew me through it really. And I found a lot of their workshops. One of the main ones I went to was the one about networking through Facebook, which I found very helpful, and how much business you can gain through having simply a Facebook page, and it's free, and how much business you can gain through it. And networking really was the main theme of the workshop, and I found it brilliant. And the amount of business I've gotten since having just started up a Facebook page is brilliant, considering I didn't pay for anything. It's free.
Yeah, and you have your own premises now, Niall?
I don't have my own premises. No. I rent a premises.
Yeah.
So there is a gym and I pay our rent to use the facility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a personal trainer, tell us what that is.
Okay, well, personal training is obviously based around fitness and exercise, lifestyle, nutrition and health in general. So basically what people do is if they have a goal they want to achieve, whether it be 9 times out of 10 it's weight loss, it isn't always weight loss, but if it 9 times out of 10 it is, they come into me and they tell me what goals they have. It might be an event, it might just be an overall weight goal that they have, it might be they want to do a triathlon, they might have just had a baby, or they might be having a baby. There's a million and one scenarios that come in through the door, but basically they tell me what they want to achieve and I try and help them get there through lifestyle, balance, exercise and nutrition.
Okay, and it's very topical now at the moment because it's coming up to Christmas and unfortunately I think we all overdo it.
Well, that's for sure, so, yeah.
So there's always a thing, particularly with gyms, that a lot of people decide for their New Year's resolution is, I'm going to join a gym, I'm going to lose loads of weight, I'm going to become hugely fit, and then they give it up after a while.
Well,
do you find that yourself?
I don't with personal training, no. As a standard gym member, if you go and you try and tackle things like this per se on your own, the likelihood of you failing is 4 times higher. So you're 4 times more likely to achieve with a personal trainer than you are without. And that's fact. So basically what happens is you can go and you can spend your £400 or £500 on your gym membership for a year, and you may well be entitled to a free program from a fitness instructor and classes as part of your gym membership. However, a lot of people don't find they have enough guidance. And so what they do is they fall off the wagon. They don't really feel helped per se. And no, but 9 times out of 10 in gyms, they won't address your nutrition and your lifestyle. So you may go to the gym 7 days a week, but that's only 7 hours really out of your week. What are you doing for the rest of the week? And that's where people fall down.
Okay, now what help did you get starting up? Was there grants available?
Yeah, there was, if you wanted to avail of there's an enterprise allowance that was up and running by the time I started. Now I started my business only the start of last year, and it was an enterprise allowance, and basically you can be qualified for 6, 9 or 12 months. And they set you up, they make sure you're registered as a company, and they literally just make sure you have a business bank account and that everything is above board, and then they give you a set allowance then to help you get going. So I found it very beneficial, yeah.
I think that was social protection, was it?
Yeah.
The Department of Social Protection.
I think a lot of people don't know that's out there. My mum stumbled upon it by accident, and I'm so glad she did, because it really helps. And I think a lot of people don't know it's out there, and I kind of was a bit like, oh God, is this right? Is this wrong? It's very right, it's very allowable, it's not, you're not doing anything wrong, and it really helps. So I would urge anybody to go and look into it.
Yeah, they don't advertise grants and things like that. You know, if they want to take money off, you do well fairly rapidly.
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, it's the type of business Claude is in, it's quite difficult to get grants from. Yeah. For example, I imagine the County Enterprise Boards wouldn't fund the type of business Claude is in because it would cause what they call displacement. In other words, there's too many of them out there. So it's a bit of a struggle, you know, for somebody like Claude to get the business off the ground. So it takes a lot of tenacity and willpower and goal. Like, talk about goals. It is about, you know, being able to put all your ducks in a row and, you know, try and go with the punches, because it is difficult when you get that first tax bill in the door.
Oh, God.
We've spoken about that, haven't we, Clodagh?
Yeah.
You know, and then the car breaks down, you know, or you get sick, because when you get sick, you don't earn.
Yeah.
And
story of real life, yeah.
You know, and then imagine that when people are finished their training, that they'll hand you over the cheque or the cash. And in fact, some people just walk out the door. You wouldn't do it in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Do you know? So, and you've got to maintain a relationship with your client, but at the same time, it's a bit like the situation I have in the centre. Like, you do develop a relationship with your tenants, and when they don't pay, you have to chase them, and you have to divide the line then. It's very awkward.
Yes, it's always been a problem in Ireland, getting paid.
And, yeah.
Checks bouncing, does that still happen?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. But this new system that's coming in SEPA in the new year, where everything is electronically based, will hopefully, you know, I don't think it'll eradicate it completely. I'd say there'll be SEPAs bouncing all over the place.
Yeah.
But it does mean, you know, that it might cut down on that. But we'll see how it goes. But, oh, yeah, it happens to us, yeah, most definitely.
And it is a huge difficulty, especially for a small business.
Yeah.
I was involved in a small business. Well, I worked for a small business years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge problem trying to get paid. And if a cheque bounces then, you know, and you know.
But do you imagine in a cash business?
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't go into, say, Starbucks and walk out without paying for your coffee.
Yeah.
But some people sometimes do feel that, you know.
Because it's not tangible. Yeah. You know, they don't actually take away a product with them. It's a service.
Yeah.
Even though they feel great and they're on track with their goals and stuff. Now, look, don't get me wrong, it doesn't happen that often. It really doesn't. My clients are very good, to be fair to them. But it does, obviously, it happens to everyone. Yeah. And it is definitely something that you have to learn. That was one of the things I was most scared about, if I'm being honest, was trying to maintain a very kind of intimate personal relationship with people where I know literally what they ate every day. But then equally the awkward moment when they're trying to you know, when they leave and you don't know what to say, and 9 times out of 10 they genuinely forget.
Mm.
You know, and there's no harm in it, and they come back and they give it to you the next week and it's
but
fine.
It is a stressor.
Yeah. But, you know,
we won't stick on the negative sides.
No.
But like, you're successful, would you say you're successful?
I'm getting there, John. I'm getting there.
I'd say that's fulfilling for you, feeling
as well.
Absolutely.
It's always great to see the clients doing so well. You know, and Claude is one of a number of women that came forward for the Ulster Bank programme, that, you know, the funding that we got, and it, you know, the money allowed us to target women specifically and get them to come into the centre and use the services, because up to that point the participation was very, very low, and now we've got more women than we've ever had in the centre. You know, the men better get their act together, and you know,
girls are taking over.
Girls are taking over. You know, they want to know why there's no programme for them, so they said they could join in.
Yeah,
and they did, and then they ran away because one of them came into a room full of women. Said, I've had enough of this.
Couldn't get a word in edgebase.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but it is very encouraging. You know that there is a huge amount of entrepreneurial activity out there. There's a lot of young women like Claude out there who unfortunately are in that environment as we were in the 80s. You know, there is a recession, it's very hard to find work, and the alternative is to either sit at home or get out and do it for yourself, and they have the motivation and tenacity to get up and do it. And as Mark Fielding said a couple of weeks ago when he was in with us, he said, just do it.
That's it.
You know, if you have a business idea, then there's help out there.
It's scary, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he had a sign over his desk, JDI.
Just do it.
That's Nike's branding, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what we're trying to push here, entrepreneurship, you know, and get people off the live register.
Yeah.
And, like, if you had advice now, there's somebody out there probably listening saying, well, I have this idea that I think might work. What would you say to them besides just do it? What advice would you
have? Well, I mean, Just Do It ties in nicely with the fitness industry, obviously, as well. So that would have been the slogan I would have absolutely gone to. But I would say, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Mm.
Because I'm always scared. Like, when you take on a new, like, whether you go and you spend money on, in my business, whether I go and I spend 700 or 800 quid on new equipment that I want to use. Like, that's an excess cost to me, and I'm scared kind of doing it in case, you know, you can't let the money go, but you still do it. It'll work out, you know? So I think that everybody should, if you have the imagination to, and you have an idea, I think you should try and put the kind of the wheels in motion, or give it to somebody who will. You don't keep it to yourself, because you'd be amazed. And everything starts with literally just an idea in your head, and then someday it amounts to something, and it's just through you driving through and doing it. And then with grants out there to help you, sure, it makes it so much more possible.
The big stress is on getting people.
Back in particularly now.
And right, there's somebody sitting at home now, and the first step, whether it's to pick up the phone or call somebody, call into somewhere.
What should they do?
Yeah.
In terms of setting up a business?
Yeah.
Well, if they're unemployed, they can contact Northside Partnership, who are on our campus, or they can go to social welfare and talk to one of the welfare officers in there, because there's a team now of people working in there who'll be able to give them all the support that they need and fill them in on what's available to them. They probably refer them to the partnership, who have their enterprise officers there. If you're already up and running and in business and you're looking for a little bit of extra support, that's when you come into me.
Yeah.
And I might be able to help you out, because there's a lot of support for startups, but unless you're in that high growth, you know, sort of Enterprise Ireland type category, or you qualify for some of the support from the county enterprise boards, there's very little out there once you're up and running. So that's why there are our community organisations, community based enterprise centres all over the country that are there to help out, and the North Dublin region. You know, where they want to go to. If you're up in Balbrig and you go to base, you know, so the services are there. You just need to know about them.
Yeah.
You just need to know.
Okay. Clodagh, what are your ambitions now for your business?
Oh.
Where would you hope to be, say, this time next year?
Ideally with my own premises.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate goal. And that's just the next scary step, which I'm currently facing at the moment. So I find there's always scary steps, no matter how good you are at your job or how comfortable you are at it, you have to keep moving forward. So the plan is maybe in the next, we'd say 2 years maybe, John, be to have a nice big gym that I can offer people membership, personal training, and I mean a comfortable environment and a knowledgeable environment where people will actually get results and not end up being one of those gym members who joins and goes twice. That's not the kind of gym that I ever want to run. That's the aim, that's the plan.
Yeah, when I mentioned that about coming at Christmas time and the new year, a lot of people get vouchers for presents and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you do vouchers?
I do, absolutely. Yeah. See, my advice would be, like, I get a lot of husbands coming in and they would be like, okay, I'm going to buy my wife a 6 month membership.
I can't imagine that being a good
for
idea.
For the gym. Well, they've been saying, well, they've been listening to their wives complaining, and not kind of getting a move on with it. So, but my advice would always be to them, if she's nervous and she's uncomfortable and she wants to do it but she doesn't know how to do it, getting her a gym membership she's not going to achieve it that way, because she's just going to have the pressure of going to a gym that she really doesn't want to go to. Whereas if you get her a person and some knowledge, get her a personal trainer, you only have to do 5 or 6 sessions, find your feet, learn how to do a program, and the confidence will come, and then she will use a gym membership after that. So that's where people, in my opinion, go wrong.
Okay, now I'm not going to ask you to give advice to other people into competition with you, but if there's somebody wants to develop a career in the fitness industry,
what would they have to do starting from scratch? Is it? Yeah, well, you'd need to go obviously and get your qualification. So there's a number of ways you can do that. Well, my qualification is a degree, but you don't always have to have a degree. You can go and you can do a 16-week personal trainer course. Where I did mine was the National Training Centre in Dorset Street in town, and I think they range from about maybe 2.5 grand maybe, and you cover everything, how to teach classes, how to exercise with people on the gym floor, your basic exercise, and then your anatomy and physiology. So you would need that to even be able to kind of set foot inside the door, even be eligible for an interview for a gym.
Yeah.
So that would be where you would need to start, and then on from there, then you know you build up your base and you progress over more so experience more than knowledge to being a personal trainer and being able to do hourly rates and one-to-one sessions where you could be 100% confident that you would get people results. So that comes with experience and time, in my opinion, more so than qualifications.
Okay. And is there an organisation where you'd have to go and show your credentials before you could actually go and start up your own business? You know, is there...
Well, in that respect, I would have my degree and all my qualification displayed on the wall in the office in the gym. So if any, but I no, I wouldn't have to, like, well, I would have to show in my qualifications to the gym when I first started there.
Are you talking about a regulator?
Yeah.
Is the industry regulated?
Not to the best of my knowledge, no.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's okay. Okay, we're coming up to the half-hour break, so we'll have to finish. Is there anything I forget? Have you got a website or a...
I do. I have a Facebook page, and it's Clodagh Timmins Personal Training, so CTPT is the brand name. And if you went on Facebook, you'd find me there, absolutely. And I also work up in Malahide United Gym on the Coast Road in Malahide. You'll find me there 24 hours a day.
24 hours a day.
Seriously, yeah.
Probably takes 24 hours a day to get a business up.
Oh, it does. 16-hour days, absolutely, yeah. Well, prepare yourselves for that, lads, if you just want to do it.
Well, anyway, congratulations and, you know, great success and all the more success for the future.
Thank you very much.
Fiona?
Yes, John?
Oh, anything new coming up? Anything else coming up?
Well, next year we're planning to have, every month we're going to have a guest speaker in.
Okay.
And I'll advertise them out through our regular slot here. And they'd be interesting speakers, people coming in talking about, you know, financing, grants available, business planning, networking, market research, whatever the topics are that people want. And then there'd be opportunities for people to network and exchange business cards and, you know, and it's support local business, and we support one another and try to encourage that, both for the tenants within the centre and then the people coming in from the surrounding business parks and retail business parks, you know. So I'll keep you posted with that. And our ladies, our 25 ladies who participate on the Ulster Bank programme, funded programme, they're finishing up now on the 12th of December. So you're going to come and cover that for us. So we're going to have a great day there and a little mini exhibition area. Clodagh's going to come along as well. And so everybody will have an opportunity to see what they do, and the Ulster Bank will be able to see what's out there, you know, that there are businesses out there that maybe they mightn't be financially supporting for whatever reason, but that these are examples of what, you know, of the quality of the product that's out there and the service, and with the tenacity and determination and focus of these entrepreneurs, what can be achieved. They're off the register, they're not claiming off the state, they're running their own businesses, they're paying tax, they're a net contributor. Yeah. And that needs to be recognised and applauded.
Yeah. And their future employers as well. Okay, now there's somebody sitting at home and they're running a business and there's kids running riot around the house and they're saying to themselves, oh, please, I'd love to be in an office, you know, in some peace and quiet. Contact numbers, sir?
Yeah, just on that point, I have, we have two hot desk rooms, and that's just a desk and a chair and a phone. We spoke about it before. Yeah. And every single one of 12 entrepreneurs there, every single one of them said the same thing. They had to get out of the house because they were in town, maybe they had a premises, it was too expensive, they had to leave, they thought they could work from home, and their partners thought that they were just there to help them do, you know, whatever it was. They wanted to pick up the kids, drop them off, do this, do that, so they had to get out. So we do have units available, so if anybody wants to talk to me, just give me a buzz on my mobile 087-254-0202, and we'll see what we can do to help them out.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you both very much.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Coming in, and I'm sure we'll speak again.